Good morning. It's Thursday, June 18th. I'm Deborah Frazier, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Ballet Wichita is presenting Alice in Wonderland at a variety of venues across Kansas this summer in its first statewide tour of theaters. Choreographer and Ballet Wichita Company director Katie Andrusak says it was important to spotlight the individual talents of the company's dancers for the show.
I want them to go out there confident, and the more confident they are in the steps and their movement, the more the character is going to come out.
That's coming up after the news. Sedgwick County Commissioners voted unanimously to issue a six-month moratorium on solar energy projects. KMUW's Meg Britton-Mellish has more on what prompted the vote.
Sedgwick County ended a year-long moratorium on solar energy projects in 2024 by crafting a new set of regulations. Those rules were supposed to guide the county through solar energy development, but two major projects have many neighbors asking for a redo. There are plans for two solar farms near Clearwater that would span nearly 3,000 acres. Neighbors like Denise Lewis say they're worried local rules don't go far enough.
Without some kind of limit on number of acres at the very least, it's kind of like the 1800s and the Oklahoma land rush, where just people are running in and sticking a flag in the ground.
Commissioners say the existing projects will serve as case studies to better develop local regulations. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton-Mellish.
A report released Wednesday shows more households in Wichita are experiencing homelessness. KMUW's Anna V. Prakash reports.
The report from United Way of the Plains and the Coalition to End Homelessness looks at factors that influence homelessness and who's affected. Matt Lowe of United Way says the rising cost of basic needs causes housing instability.
Too many of our neighbors are living on the edge of a financial crisis where a single, unexpected expense leads to homelessness.
Last year, more than 2,000 Sedgwick County households experienced homelessness for the first time. Lowe says United Way plans to launch a new program for families next month. The initiative will provide families with resources to support long-term housing stability. For KMUW News, I'm Anna V. Prakash.
The city of Wichita has released its annual water quality report. It looks at how Wichita's water compared to state and federal standards in 2025. Laura Quick with the city's Public Works Department says the most important takeaway is that the city's water is safe.
We had no violations as usual, and that is the biggest takeaway, is the city of Wichita's water is great and safe to drink.
Quick says Wichita's next step to maintain safe water is opening the new water treatment plant. The plant is currently in the testing stage for consistency and safety. She says there is no specific timeline for when it will become active. A Senate bill would allow year-round sales of E15, the gasoline blended with up to 15% corn-based ethanol. But as Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports, the effort could hurt the soybean market.
E15 is popular in farm country, but in order to help get lawmakers from oil states on board, the bill includes an exemption. It would allow small refineries to blend less biofuel. Seth Meyer, an ag economist at the University of Missouri, says that's likely to elbow out soybean biodiesel in favor of cheaper-to-blend ethanol. And ultimately, he says that could raise corn prices over soybeans.
The bean folks are saying, wait a minute, corn, you get your E15, but if you are trading off small refinery exemptions, that falls on us.
And he says corn prices might not rise enough to offset potential soybean losses. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Wichita Fire Department got city approval to build a $5 million fire station in March. Department officials hope a federal grant will help cover the cost of staffing it. City Council gave the department the okay Tuesday to apply for a $5 million grant to cover the cost of 14 firefighters at the new station at Pawnee and Mays. Grant funds would cover the cost of staffing for about 3 years. The federal program requires a match of nearly $2 million from the city. City leaders approved tax cuts Tuesday for a new child care and literacy center in northeast Wichita. Storytime Village is building a $10 million center just south of the Wichita State campus. The property was once the first women's dorm at WSU. Half the project cost will be covered by a state grant, as long as a portion of the building is open by September. Council vote helps lower construction costs by exempting the nonprofit from nearly $250,000 in sales tax. Wichita's Orpheum Theater is undergoing a major renovation, and now it's looking for a new mural to be featured outside the historic landmark. Orpheum officials announced Wednesday they're commissioning an original artwork to be displayed on the First Street wall for the next 5 years. The contest is open to artists who live, work, or have a connection to Wichita. Orpheum officials say the design would celebrate the arts, diversity, and culture, and reflect on the theater's history. Interested artists or teams should submit resumes, previous work, and an artist narrative by June 28th. Several city offices and attractions will be closed or have special hours for Juneteenth on Friday. Wichita City Hall, public libraries, neighborhood resource centers, and recreation centers will be closed for the holiday. The Wichita Art Museum and Mid-America All-Indian Museum will also be closed, and city buses and paratransit services will not be running. Wichita Golf Courses and Botanica will follow regular hours. All public pools except for McAfee will be open from 1 to 6 p.m. Juneteenth celebrations this weekend include Juneteenth ICT at McAdams Park on Friday. And now, KMUW's Lou Ann Stevens brings us some upcoming events in and around Wichita.
Anime Festival Wichita takes place this weekend with vendors and panels, a dance party, and karaoke night. It's tomorrow through Sunday at the Hyatt Regency. The classic rock bands Kansas and 38 Special will perform tomorrow night at 6 at Heartland Credit Union Arena. Taco Fest is 3 to 9 on Saturday with tacos, drinks, and live Lucha Libre wrestling. It's at the Fountains at Waterwalk in downtown Wichita. The Father's Day Car Show is 9 to 4 on Sunday at the Sedgwick County Zoo with classic, antique, and some modern car models. Also on Sunday, Weird Al's Bigger and Weirder Tour, 7 o'clock Sunday evening at Intrust Bank Arena. The Wichita Open runs next Thursday through the following Wednesday at Crestview Country Club. This is the 37th year. It's part of the PGA Tour, and it's a fundraiser for local charities. And KMUW's Literary Feast is this coming Wednesday, starting at 6 p.m. Our selection this month is Angel Down by Daniel Krauss, which won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction this year. You can get your ticket at kmuw.org until Tuesday at noon. Find out more about these and other events at kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
School may be out for summer, but not for lifelong learners. Join us for our next Why Should I Read This lecture? Dr. Rebecca Bechtold will speak about The House of the Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne. It's Tuesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. at KMUW Studios. Learn more at kmuw.org.
I'm Deborah Frazier, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Ballet Wichita will present Alice in Wonderland at several venues across Kansas this summer for the first time. Ballet Wichita director and choreographer Katie Andrusak says she wanted to present a version of the familiar story that would feel new to viewers. KMUW's Jed Bodwin recently spoke with Andrusak and has more as part of KMUW's special series on the ballet's summer tour.
Tell me about the decision to do this show this year. Why was this the right time for Alice in Wonderland?
We're on our 51st year, and in the summers, we have primarily toured shorter story ballets to parks around Sedgwick County and neighboring counties. And so this year we chose to change up what we do over the summer and do a full-length in-theater touring show. So I, a number of years ago, choreographed a portion of Alice in Wonderland that I just fell in love with. And so when they came to me about choreographing this new summer series, I immediately went to Alice in Wonderland and taking what we had already created and expanding it to a full-length ballet. It's a crazy book, and it's a crazy story. And so the ability to have so many options to choose from. We're not doing everything that you know of Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass. I was able to pick and choose to kind of create a story that everybody's going to recognize but can be unique to our dancers and even a little bit unique to the times.
I think of dance as being about telling a story through movement. And here you're dealing with also telling the story of an existing text and then kind of translating that to dance. Tell me a little bit about that process.
Yes, so it's a challenging process because everybody knows a version of Alice in Wonderland. And so trying to stay true to that story with also being unique and staying true to our dancers, because not every dancer is the same. Some dancers are good turners. Some dancers really like petit allegro, you know. So making sure that I also choreograph the roles to the story and to the dancer. And so that took a lot of prep work. I started planning this ballet in particular back in July of last year. So I created my storyboard with lots of different choose your own adventures, depending on who showed up for auditions and what the casting would look like. So this ballet had about 10 different directions it could go that stayed within the storyline of Alice in Wonderland, but could be unique to our dancers. And then once casting came out, I was able to solidify that a little bit more. And then came the music selection. And so I think the costuming is really where you're going to be able to see the characters as well as the dancers acting. It's a very acting heavy ballet. You're not going to see a lot of Sleeping Beauties and Sugar Plums that just have that very pleasant smile that doesn't change. You're going to have a lot of character development for a lot of different dancers.
I think it's interesting what you said about working with the individual dancers and their abilities. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I want them to go out there confident. And the more confident they are in the steps and their movement, the more the character is going to come out. So I threw a lot of things at these dancers, some that stuck and some that I went, we're going to pivot and we're going to change it here. So then they are super comfortable with the steps. And we're at a point now as we're going through some of our final run-throughs where the characterization is just, it's really exciting to see all of these wonderful dancers bringing to life the characters of Alice in Wonderland and loving being out there every second of rehearsal.
Ballet Wichita performs Alice in Wonderland in Ottawa, Kansas on Friday and will perform at Friends University June 26th and 27th. You can read more of this story at kmuw.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow for KMUW News. I'm Deborah Frazier.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on The Range, summertime's a busy season for Wichita's restored B-29 bomber. Plus, a different type of competition at Wichita sports bars. So join us on The Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.